Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths, the program that's devoted to those who have a brain, to those of you who recognize that every religious, political, military, economic, academic, and most especially media institution are corrupt, rotten to the core, counterproductive, cannot be fixed. And let me begin by saying, if I have to hear that goddamn ad, and I mean goddamn ad, and that's not swearing, I'm not taking God's name in vain, that isn't what the commandment actually says, it's actually not a commandment, it has Yahweh's name in it, God is not his name, and there's not a single word in any one of the words that he etched in stone in the instruction that say anything even remotely akin to that. And so goddamn is a sentence he would damn it himself and does regularly. There is no such thing associated with God known as a Bible. Bible means with Baal. Baal is the name of Satan, used throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms to describe the adversary, because he wants to lord over God, he wants to lord over man, he wants to possess and own, he wants to control. It's the antithesis of God. If you're calling God the Lord, then you are really screwed up. You haven't got a clue who he is. You are actually worshiping the adversary. And God damns all the time. There is no such thing as a Bible associated with Yahweh. This alleged military Bible stick is only the New Testament. There is no New Testament. God only has one Testament. It is comprised of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. Yahushua was the living embodiment of the one and only Testament. Paul, the author of half of the Christian New Testament, was the plague of death. There is no individual in all of human history that God despises more than Paul, the founder of the Christian religion. And so to combine military, which is all about killing, which is about destroying, which has done everything imaginable in the last 100 years to make bad situations worse around the world, and to create a military Bible stick comprised of the New Testament that's going to somehow deliver some benefit to your troops and you call them heroes, you're really screwed up. God is anti-military. God is anti-country. God is anti-Bible. And this idea of charging $25 to perpetrate this pride, fraud, is making merchandise of men. There's a limited time that I'm going to be part of this program. Frankly, I just can't handle the commercials, whether they be the increased presence of longevity as the pyramid scheme and all of the ridiculous claims that are now being made regarding that product, or it's things that are hawked on SRN, the Salem radio network, like the Bible stick. It's just an environment I don't want to be in. Love, Scott. I'm happy that we've made so much progress in terms of awakening people. I'm delighted that people have found the covenant, but I'm going to find something else to do with my time because it makes me want to puke the rubbish that's being hawked on this network. Speaking of rubbish, I was out to dinner last night. Interesting meal, but on the way to dinner in the parking lot, I passed 3 Muslims. At dinner, there was another Muslim. You know they're Muslims because the women are dressed up like religious clowns in religious clown outfits. And you just want to shake your head. I mean, I always look at them. I'm just disgusting. Shake my head in absolute disgust as they walk by. Can you imagine being so stupid that in a free country where you have the opportunity, where your husband can't beat you, where he can't kill you, where he can't do all the things he can do in an Islamic country, starve you to death, lock you in the house, impose all sorts of conditions over you, lord over you as if he were God, the twisted Islamic God, of course, where he can abuse you in every way, including rape you and kill you in an Islamic country. He has no authority over you in this country. So why in the hell do you play religious dress up? Particularly when the moron whose belief, your trust you're putting into your belief system, was an avowed rapist, an acknowledged rapist, multiple-time rapist. He was a revolting pedophile. How would you marry somebody and play religious dress-up as a Muslim when your religion was founded by a pedophile? What is it with people that would believe the spiritual advice of a terrorist, of a mass murderer, of a slave trader? And you think this person gave you divine writ? And you haven't bothered to read what he actually wrote in his Quran about jihad, about killing? You're not smart enough to realize that the sun doesn't go to bed in a muddy spring at night? That Alexander the Great wasn't a Muslim? That he didn't go to visit extraterrestrials? That the Quran didn't get history right, much less have a single accurate prophecy? That the Quran is the opposite of what it claims to be? It claims to be a confirmation of the Torah when it's a refutation of the Torah? I mean, what is it about women in a free society that would play religious dress-up, giving credence to a religion founded by the most perverted, disgusting, repulsive man who ever lived? That's not my opinion. Read the Quran, read the Hadith. If you're not industrious enough to find the five earliest books that were comprised of, about Muhammad and his creation of Islam, then go read Prophet of Doom, prophetofdoom.net. It's right there. It's free for you. It takes the five oldest Islamic sources, the two chronological sources, the only source written, compiled to writing within 100 years of Muhammad's death, the Sirah, the biography, and it's used along with the Tariq, which is the history of Muhammad, collected a series of hadith or reports from Muhammad and his companions, which comprise Sharia, the basis of Islam. And it uses them to reorder the Quran chronologically to set it into the context of Muhammad's life. If you're going to go play religious dress-up, read the thing. You know, why is it that I know 1,000 times more about your religion than you do, and you're playing religious dress-up? God, it just makes me sick. And we live in a world where information is ubiquitous, where evidence is all around us. What in the hell is people's problems that they're unwilling to open their eyes? They're unwilling to think. You know, it is an absolute shame. And this notion with you ought to respect everybody's religion. Why would I respect a religion that condones rape? Why would I respect a religion that condones pedophilia, the sodomizing of little boys, the rape of little girls, selling little girls into sexual slavery? Why would I respect a religion that calls on its believers to kill anyone who doesn't submit? Why? Why would you respect something like that? Why would you respect a religion that treats women as if they're animals? How is that enlightened? How is that compassionate? How is that good? How is that worthy? You know, if you were the least bit aware, if you shed your ignorance and you had the capacity to exercise good judgment, if you still had the capacity to be civil, you'd despise Islam. You'd want to quarantine it. It's just out of absolute stupidity, absolute ignorance that people embrace as being good things that inspire so much evil. I mean, here you have a religion that is responsible for 99% of the terrorist acts around the world. 90% of the child sexual slavery around the world. Responsible for the largest migration of refugees in human history. And it has at its core Quran and Hadith that condone, encourage all of this. And yet, the world embraces it and brings it into their home like they were celebrating sharing Ebola. Good grief. Some news items here today. First one begins, Dateline Afghanistan. This tells you just why governments aren't worthy of your support, why they aren't the least bit appropriate, particularly when they're married to a military, as are most governments. It might be the world's most expensive gas station. Might be, you think? Not to mention the world's most gross misuse of taxpayer money, according to a top government watchdog. The Department of Defense, by the way, it's not defending anyone. Ever since it's been called the Department of Defense, there isn't a single time that it has been used to defend America. There isn't a single deployment in the totality of the time that it's been called the Department of Defense that this department, with all of its trillions of dollars worth of resources, has defended America. It invaded Vietnam to make a bad situation worse. It invaded Afghanistan not once, but three times. Once by proxy, second with its own troops, all to make a bad situation worse. It invaded Iraq, making a bad situation worse. Bombed Libya, making a bad situation worse. Bombed Yemen, making a bad situation worse. Bombing Syria, now putting troops on the ground in Syria, all to make a bad situation worse. It's not defending your freedom. It is making you vastly less safe. Anyway, the Department of Defense spent $43 million to build a gas station in Afghanistan. The cost of building the gas station should have been right around $500,000. The lead oversight team monitoring U.S. spending in Afghanistan has found. The discovery came as part of a broader investigation into allegations of criminal activity within the Department of Defense's premier program to kickstart the Afghan economy. Yeah, after you obliterate a country. And then you're going to kickstart it with $43 million gas stations. You know, it reminds me of what happened in Vietnam. We didn't like the government, so we put in our own government. And the government we put into power was even more corrupt than we are. And it robbed the people blind, which is why you could have sacrificed hundreds of thousands of American lives. And it wouldn't have made any difference because no one in Vietnam was going to fight on behalf of that corrupt government. Well, the same thing is true in Afghanistan. And the reason we empower and enable corrupt governments is because our government itself is corrupt. It's Fright Night at the Pentagon. John Sopko, Special Inspector General for the Afghan Reconstruction, that's SIGAR, told Fox News, calling the spending outrageous to the taxpayer. At issue is spending by the Task Force for Stability and Business Operations, known as TFBSO, or the Task Force, which ended in March of 2015. But most alarming, according to SOPCO, is the Department of Defense's failure to answer questions about the $800 million program. And it's claimed that the task force employees no longer work for the Department of Defense. Quote, I've never in my lifetime seen the Department of Defense or any government agency clam up and claim that they don't know anything about a program, said SOPCO. Don't know a clue. Who's in charge? Why won't they talk? We have received more allegations about this program than we have received about any other program in Afghanistan, and they won't say a word. I will remind you that the U.S. War College did a comprehensive evaluation of the U.S. military and found that from top to bottom, deceit range, that officers from general staff and admirals, all the way down to enlisted men, preferred to lie than tell the truth. Their go-to answer was deceit. And, you know, Americans are so brainwashed about the military being good. They'd say, oh, well, you know, war requires deception, and, you know, you can't, you know, be wholly truthful. No. They'd lied about everything. Everything, all the time, and you empower this, you condone this, you give them weapons of mass destruction, and you know for certain that you can't trust them? That sounds really insane to me. Al-Shabaab, moving a little bit south here in our journey through the world of Islam. It means the lads. The Islamist militant group have attacked a hotel in the Somali capital in Mogadishu. They killed 15 people. Gunmen used two car bombs to blast their way into the Sa'afi Hotel compound before storming the building. The victims included at least one MP and the general who led the 2011 offensive that drove al-Shabaab out of Mogadishu. Evidently not completely. The African Union troops and government forces say they have regained control of the hotel now that the damage is done. The website associated with al-Shabaab said it was responsible for the attack, which it said was carried out early in the morning to avoid civilian casualties. With one problem. Virtually everyone that was killed was a civilian. The Islamic State, and now we're moving a bit west, has reported capturing the Syrian town of Mahin in central Homs. Why would that be important? Oh, the abominator now has troops on the ground, boots on the ground in Syria. The abominator is now bombing Syria with reckless abandon, increasing the commitment to destroy Syria. The abominator is now dealing with Russia as Russia engages in this war. The United States is flying in hundreds of tons of weaponry. The United States has given up on its program of moderate militants, because there is no such thing, never has been, never will be such a thing as a moderate militant, particularly a just jihadist. They've given up on that program, but yet they're still funneling weapons by the airplane load into Syria. And yet, with the whole world saying, we're declared war on the Islamic State, this little organization that started initially because the United States decided that, well, now that we've given a bright, shiny new military to Iran in a country we're calling Iraq, which is now just Western Iran, and they started using that military, or we knew they would, and they subsequently have used that military to kill Sunnis, now that Saddam was gone, that maybe we ought to arm the Sunnis to defend themselves. And so we created the awakening program during the surge, and we armed the Sunnis all the time. I was screaming and saying, are you crazy? This is going to create a civil war of unmitigated consequence. And where did it cross? An unmitigated civil war, a war beyond our wildest imaginations that has fundamentally changed the world because of the migration out of this region. And we caused it. And now that little group that was at one time, by the CIA's own estimate, maybe 5,000 to 10,000 strong of all personnel, is now dominating the news. And with the whole world claiming to be opposed to it, with the whole world bombing it, they become stronger, they capture more territory. Have you heard of any losses by the Islamic State? No. The fact is, because the Islamic State represents Sunni Islam against Shia Islam, the Islamic State's not going anywhere. And they want to be bombed. They want the United States and other countries to declare it their enemy. And they want this because that's what they thrive on. Their religion is about killing. It's about playing mujahideen. It's about playing holy warrior and killing all those who disagree, even if those you are killing are Muslims. And so here is the Islamic State gaining territory. They launched the offensive with two suicide car blasts late Saturday. Muslims will be Muslims right to the core. With a religion that doesn't give them any reason to live, they die. And in a religion that is predicated on death, they kill others in the process. Clashes are also taking place near Sadat, a mostly Christian town. You see, under Assad, there were millions of Christians, lived in relative peace, in Syria. There were a couple of million Christians in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. They have been annihilated. They're being annihilated in Syria. The United States intervention in Syria and in Iraq has caused almost 2 million Christians to either die, to be robbed of everything that they own, or to have their children taken from them as sex slaves. Good job, America. You are should be so proud of what you have done, although you're clueless as to what you have done. The latest development comes amid air campaigns in Syria by Russia and the U.S.-led coalition. I can't say that it doesn't matter, because it does. The Islamic State wants to be bombed. The Islamic State wants us to put boots on the ground. They live to die. This is what they want. It's their only express ticket into Allah's brothel. The Islamic State has been expanding from its many northern and eastern strongholds towards Homs in central Syria in recent months. It's not so central. Homs is western Syria. The group overran the town of Tadmor, home to the ancient ruins of Palmyra, in May, and then took Al-Qaryatayn in August. The latest offensive on Mahin and Sadat brings the Islamic State to within 13 miles of the main road that links the Syrian capital, Damascus, to Homs and other cities further north. The observatory said that at least 50 government soldiers were killed or wounded in the fighting. The attack on Mahin began late on Saturday with the suicide bombings. And meanwhile, they say that these clashes are continuing on the outskirts of Sadat. The town is home to about 15,000 people, mostly Syriac Christians. And has 14 churches and a monastery. Every place where either al-Nusra or the Islamic State has gone that have had churches, they are destroyed. Monastery, they are destroyed. The priests and the clergy are beheaded. The women are sold off as sex slaves. The men are robbed. This is what Islam does. It is repulsive to me that the world is tolerant of this disease. The reports from Syria are that more than 60 people were killed by Syrian army raids and Russian strikes in the northern province of Aleppo on Saturday. On Friday, more than 70 people were reported killed and hundreds were wounded in an airstrike and shelling on a market in the rebel-held Damascus suburb of Duma. You know, the fact that al-Nusra is in a Damascus suburb. How in the world are they going to stop them? I mean, really, how are they going to stop them? Are the Syrians going to bomb the towns to the point that they look like Homs and Aleppo, twisted heaps of ruins? Are we just going to continue to maim and kill until we have 20 million refugees, and then they poison Europe with the very disease that caused this in the first place? In an attempt to ward off attacks, rebel groups in Douma are using captured soldiers and other people associated with the government as human shields. That's what you would expect them to do. Speaking of Islam, a Bangladeshi publisher, stop me if you've heard this before, oh, yeah, this is the fourth or fifth one in Bangladesh, the same thing has happened to the others, the publisher of secular books, was been hacked to death in the capital. It is the second attack of its kind just on this past weekend alone. Faisal Erfan Dipon, 43, was murdered in his office in the city center hours after another publisher and two secular writers were mutilated in a similar attack. They were just the latest victim in a series of murderous attacks on secularists since the blogger Avijit Roy was hacked to death by Muslims in February. Both publishers published Roy's work. Mr. Dupont was found dead at the publishing house. And I saw him lying down there in a massive pool of blood. They slaughtered, they said they slaughtered his neck. I don't know if one, they can slice a neck, they can decapitate a head. But they slaughtered his neck is what the quote said. He is dead, his father, the writer, Fazul Haq said. Earlier on Saturday, armed men bust into the offices of publisher Rashid Tootle. They stabbed Tootle and two writers who were with him. They locked them in the office and fled the scene. The three men were rushed to the hospital. At least one of them is in critical condition. The two writers were named by police, and they were simply secularists. What is it about a religion that is so perverse that if somebody wants to write about it, somebody wants to expose it, that the religious buffoons can't respond with words? They aren't able to defend the religion. They aren't able to say, oh, that's really unfair for you to say that we're responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts, because they are. It's unfair for you to say that Muhammad was a pedophile, because he was. It's unfair for you to say that Muhammad was a rapist, because he was. It's unfair for you to say that Muhammad was a mass murderer, because he was. It's unfair for you to say that the Quran is the dumbest book ever written, because it is. They can't respond with evidence and reason. So they do the only thing that their religion has taught them, has indoctrinated them to do, be murderous. Why does the world tolerate a religion this revolting? And if you're going to say, hey, it's not fair to slather all Muslims, you know, with this, the extremist brush. I'm not slathering all Muslims. I'm just telling you what Islam's about. I'm telling you that Muhammad was a terrorist, that he was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was a mass murderer, that he was a slave trader, and that he was an avowed liar. And that his Quran is easily the dumbest book ever written. It is false from beginning to end. And that you have to be an absolute nincompoop to believe that he spoke for God. And therefore, since the Quran orders all Muslims to act as these murdering, knife-wielding savages have done, then you ought to know that we ought not tolerate this religion. We ought to quarantine it. We ought to stop doing business with them. All you clothing companies that buy your clothing made in Bangladesh ought to stop doing that. You're enabling them. All of you oil companies that are trans countries that are buying OPEC oil, you ought to stop doing that. You're funding their murder and yours, your destruction. Those that are bringing Muslims in as refugees, you're insane. This religion cannot be fixed. It can't be reformed. It is what it is. And what it is savage. It's a terrorist dogma. It's a declaration of war on all humankind. That is what it is at its heart. It is a criminal enterprise. It was founded by Muhammad for the express purpose of robbing people because he didn't want to work. Read the Quran. That's what it says. Read the Hadith. That's what it says. And so as they continue to hack their way to infamy, the world never puts together the pieces to ask why it is that Muslims can't handle criticism. Why they can't use their words. But they can't. Somte, Germany. This bucolic one-street settlement of a handsome red brick farmhouse town, really a village, maybe for the moment have more cows than people, but next week it will become one of the fastest growing places in Europe. Not that anyone in Somte is very excited about it. In early October, the district government informed Somte's mayor, Christian Fable. Boy, what a great name. Christian Fable. And it is indeed. Christianity is a fable. By email, that his village of 102 people just over the border in what was once communist East Germany, would be required to take in 1,000 Muslims. It says here, asylum seekers. His wife, the mayor said, assured him this must be a hoax. It certainly can't be true that a little town of 102 people can't be asked to take in 1,000 people who don't speak the language, who don't have a job, who are from a culture that inspires the most horrific behavior the world has ever known. It can't be true. How could such a small, isolated place be asked to accommodate nearly 10 times as many migrants, Muslims, as it has residents, she told him. She thought it was a joke. But it's not a joke. Nope, something has become a showcase in the extreme pressures bearing down on Germany as it scrambles to find shelter for what its moronic leader, Merkel, has done to it. By the end of the year, which is just 2 months away, there could be over 1 million Muslims seeking refuge from poverty or wars in Africa. Wars America started, we bombed Libya into submission. In Syria, we caused that problem too. Oh, in Iraq, that too is America. In Afghanistan. Boy, we are we can't say the trifecta because we won 4 in a row. Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. What is the common denominator besides they're all Islamic? That America bombed them. That America bombed. You know, during the Republican debates and press conferences, you've got the Trumpster saying, you know, the world would be infinitely better off. Iraq would be better off. Europe would be better off. America would be better off if America hadn't bombed Saddam Hussein into oblivion. If he was still there. America would be better off. Libya would be better off. The world would be better off had we not done the same thing to Muammar Gaddafi. These were mistakes. He said, you know, I'm not telling you they're good people. They weren't. They were rotten. But the world was better off when they were in charge than it is now. It's a point you can't even argue. I mean, you'd have to be so ignorant, so stupid, so indoctrinated with patriotism that you can't see your nose the spite of your face not to recognize that he's right. And yet, in the GOP, they're having a conniption fit. They don't know how to deal with this because the hawks, they want the Bush doctrine that no dictator is a good dictator unless that dictator is lining my pockets in the case of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, that we don't understand that Saudi Arabia is a dictator, Kuwait is a dictator, Qatar is a dictator, United Arab Emirates, they're dictators. Erdogan is a dictator. The Sisi in Egypt, he's a dictator. So what are we going to do? We're going to choose the dictators that we want to oust and choose the dictators that we're going to supply massive amounts of war materials? What? I mean, it's just astonishing that Americans, by and large, don't get it. That we made Iraq infinitely worse. That our military invasion of Iraq was stunningly counterproductive. Undeniably counterproductive. As was our invasion of Afghanistan. As was our bombing of Libya. As was our bombing of Yemen. As was our participation in both coups that took place in Egypt. We consistently use our military to make bad situations worse, but cover it up because we somehow want to turn these men who've been trained to kill into heroes. It is extraordinary that we do this. Anyway, this is going to happen to this small town as a result of what America has done. And a small concession to the villagers, a regional official told them this week that the initial number of refugees who start arriving on Monday will be housed in empty office buildings, and they would be kept to 500, maybe 750. Well, it's still going to be 1,000 by the end of the year. Oh, by the way, this town, it doesn't have a grocery store. It doesn't have a gas station. Oh, the U.S. military, for about $50 million, can go build one for them, I guess. Doesn't have anything that you would need to support 1,000 people. Straining the German politics and creating deep divisions, both in her own party, the Christian Democrats, and, of course, of the anti-Semites that are so prevalent in Germany, that a constellation of groups, so this says extremist groups, are now challenging Angela Merkel. No, she is being challenged by her own party. One of the few people, in fact, who seem enthusiastic about the plan for Sumpty is Holger Niemann, 32, an admirer of Hitler and the lone neo-Nazi on the electorate. A neo-Nazi was elected to the district council. He rejoices at the opportunity the migrant crisis has offered. It's bad for the people, but politically he says it's good for me. Niemann said that the plan, which would leave the German villagers outnumbered by Muslims 10-1, awfully good for him, and that it demonstrates that he was right. The Germans face destruction of our genetic heritage, the neo-Nazi says. That ain't your problem. It isn't about the gene pool. Hitler was wrong. You're wrong. He says, and we're becoming, the risk of becoming a gray mishmash as if skin color mattered. What an idiot. Mr. Niemann added, predicting that public anxiety over Merkel's open-armed welcome to refugees would help demolish a post-war political consensus in Germany. And Sumpty, this fact is, it has no shops, has no police station, no school. The initial number of arrivals was, in fact, reduced to avoid straining the local sewage system. We have zero infrastructure here for so many people, Mr. Christian Fable said. But what are you going to do? Germany has been the most stupid of all of the stupid nations throughout Europe. Moving closer to home, the United States disclosed on Friday what I had shared with you last week, that it's going to station ground troops in Syria in its war against the Islamic State. U.S. soldiers would be sent in not only as advisors to groups fighting the militants, we're going to fight right along with jihadists. Washington announced that Special Operations Force would be pulled from 17 countries. The European Union and the United Nations called for a nationwide truce in Syria's civil war right at the time that America said, yeah, truce, my patootie, we're going to send in troops. Yeah, the United States called a peace conference. And what did it do? Well, we don't want to sit around here and just talk. We want boots on the ground because nothing says peace more like special forces. The United States said that it would deploy these troops in northern Syria. Well, that's great, because guess where the Russians are in northern Syria? In the coming weeks, in an open-ended mission. Officials said the forces were not meant to for frontline combat, but that's exactly what they have done thus far. The participants in Vienna, including the United States and Russia, said substantial differences remain, though they've agreed that it was imperative to accelerate all diplomatic efforts to end the war. What are you going to do? What do you mean? There is no diplomatic solution to this. You could talk and scheme and think and plan for 1,000 years. There is no diplomatic solution to what America has caused. You can't fix religious hatred, and the Sunnis and the Shias hate each other. America empowered the Shias over the Sunnis in this region, and the Sunnis are responding because the Shias used their increased power to murder Sunni civilians. And that we have now placed tens of billions of dollars, if not hundreds of billions of dollars, of American weapons in this country and in the surrounding countries So with all that weaponry, with a religion founded on fighting, particularly, I mean, this is something you've got to keep in mind. Muhammad never once led or inspired an attack against a military unit. Never once. Never attacked any military or even militia unit. Ever once. Muhammad always acted like a terrorist, like a weasel. He only attacked soft civilian targets. 100% of the time. He led and inspired 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. And every single attack, Muhammad used his goons that were armed to the teeth to rob, to enslave, to rape, and to kill defenseless civilians. That's what he did. And under that circumstance, there is no means that can be deployed by armies to prevail. That's not their strategy. They will only hit an army if they can do so in an environment where they know that the army ain't going to hit back. So, you know, the army can be sending caravans for materials, supplies, through a town, and they'll put snipers on the roof, and they'll put IEDs in the road, and they will extract a heavy death toll. And finally, the nation that is trying to wage a traditional war pays too dear a price. But in terms of just standing up and fighting, you know, tank to tank ain't going to happen. Airplane to airplane isn't going to happen. Ship to ship, never going to happen. Missile to missile, never going to happen. Even machine gun to machine gun isn't going to happen. It isn't even going to happen that you're going to have command and control and large numbers of troops maneuvering against each other in a battle. It's never going to happen. They're never going to do it. They don't wear uniforms. You cannot tell a member of the Islamic State or al-Nusra from any other person living in that part of the world. And so our military is ill-prepared to fight this kind of foe. They will take too harsh a bite out of anyone who tries to do so, for them to be able to continue to do so. And the asymmetrical nature of the cost of such a war, where America will spend hundreds of millions of dollars in a day's attacks, and they will destroy tens of thousands of dollars worth of combatant infrastructure, most of which they simply stole by having the people who previously had it just abandon it. You can't win. When you're supplying the munitions that you were destroying with your very sophisticated and expensive weapons, you have a 0% chance of prevailing. And when you're attacking with bullets and bombs, a religion that thrives on carnage, you're only going to make a bad situation worse. There is a way to deal with the Islamic State. There's a way to deal with Iran. There is a way to deal with all of the terror that Saudi Arabia inspires. And it's to shed one's ignorance about the religion. If you want to read the original source material, go for it. If not, the best researched, best documented, most comprehensive, most chronological, most contextual presentation of Islam's five oldest books is printed for you to read free at prophetofdoom.net. Go read it. Shed your ignorance. Come to understand this beast and realize that it needs to be opposed, to be criticized with words, to be quarantined, to stop supplying weapons, to top Stop engaging in their countries militarily. Stop invading them. Stop bombing them. Stop supplying them with weapons. Stop dictating your ways of governing upon them. Stop trying to change them. And stop funding them by doing business with them. The only solution is to isolate them and to do the opposite of what Germany is doing, which is bringing the disease right into its house, into its home. Anyway, we are where we are because so few people are willing to deal with the truth. This is an interesting story, unrelated to Islam, but yet related to it nonetheless. The Washington Post is reporting that a large coalition of advocacy groups, including Muslims, has asked the U.S. Department of Education to pressure colleges to punish students for their speech, to block student access to certain websites. Yes, free speech cannot be tolerated in America's academic institutions. What do you think is going to happen next?